from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley, with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at Three. Number one.
Biggest stories of the day, baby. I would say that this is one of them, right? Dana Brown, the general manager of your Houston Astros, spoke on the flagship. I think it was yesterday, maybe, or was it maybe today? Yesterday, anyway, spoke on the flagship station. Byron said he even heard it during the broadcast of the game, I believe, is what we were talking about. But nonetheless, the message is still the same, regardless where Dana Brown said it. Number one, I think of a big note here is Kyle Tucker could potentially play Wednesday or Thursday in Cincinnati. B. Scott, I don't know about you, but I mean that tells me that there's not going to be a rehab stint in Sugar Land, and he's pretty damn close to being ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, and that's good news. That's what I gleaned from it as well, Clint, and the fact that just over the weekend, our own Adam Spillane had video of Kyle Tucker taking live BP. So that's a good sign. You hear what Dana Brown is saying. We talked about this in the talks with the guys from In the Loop earlier. Sean Bajani, we were talking about it earlier about the fact that we do know for sure that Kyle Tucker suffered a fracture to his shin. And it's been a while, man, since that Cardinals series several months ago now. And now he's finally on his way back. That's good news for our Astros team that already appears to be humming even without him.
Yeah, you mentioned, I mean, Kyle Tucker being back potentially at the end of this week is huge. Dana Brown said, I don't know, a couple weeks ago that the first week of September was possible. And here we sit, and we're closer to that first week. We're dead in the middle of that first week, actually. And Wednesday or Thursday could see Kyle Tucker playing for the Astros.
And how easy it is to forget, Clint, that Kyle Tucker at the time of his injury was playing at an MVP level.
Yeah.
Not just an all-star level, not just playing well, not just the best player on the team, but was playing at an MVP level. Never mind the fact that Aaron Judge is in the American League and Bobby Witt Jr. is in the American League and guys that could potentially actually win the award are in the league. He was playing at that level. He was one of those guys at the time of his injury. So it might be too much to expect him to be that once he gets back, but you are inserting that level of player into your lineup. We all know that, but it is important to remind since he's been gone for so long.
Yeah, look, we talk about it all the time, man. When the Astros were kicking ass and taking names, and you got Verlander coming back to a rotation that was killing it. Now you got Tucker coming back to a lineup that top to bottom is not killing it, but Bregman has been one of the hotter hitters. And obviously what Alvarez has done in this series, I mean, Diaz, I think, has been impressive this year. Yep. Pena's been better regular season than he has in the past. Altuve is Altuve. So, I mean, you're introducing this guy, one of the best hitters in the game, just general hitters in the game, back into a lineup that is producing at a good clip. Now, you mentioned briefly, which I think it's worthy of circling back to here, B. Scott, but according to Chandler Rome, Astros outfielder Kyle Tucker fractured his shin against the Cardinals on June the 3rd. Three sources tell The Athletic. General manager Dana Brown says the team suspects there was some sort of fracture. I only circle back to that to say, damn it, I mean, I hate that the guy had a fractured shin.
Yeah.
But I feel a lot better about how bullish I was about this ain't no damn bone bruise. I mean, there was clearly, given not only how long he's been out, but clearly how painful this thing was, a couple of weeks ago, tells you that there was something majorly wrong. I don't know how the Astros screw this up. I don't know why the Astros screw this up. I don't know why, even if it's one of those things where all imaging does. I saw somebody on the text line earlier. Imaging doesn't always, man, this is baseball. And we're talking about, you got two and a half months. You got a pro athlete that's in a contract year that you would think would circle back to a to the best technology in the world to make sure this thing is a bone bruise versus a fracture versus whatever the hell else it could be. So I don't, the way it was handled by the Astros to me is wild. I don't understand it. I tell you, it does make sense why Alex Bregman wants to report his own injuries. He didn't want to let the Astros do it, even though if he does screw it up.
Yeah, let me speak for myself.
Yeah, let me speak for my damn self. But at the end of the day, I think that is newsworthy and worth circling back to. It was a fracture of some sort, to some degree, not just a bone bruise.
Yeah, so, Clint, you're a former athlete yourself, so you probably have a good gauge for how teams deal with injuries, sometimes how it could, maybe the communication on it might be shady, maybe there's a difference of opinion on the player and the athlete. A number of different things could go in terms of how that injury is communicated. But you don't have to be a former athlete to recognize this one, Clint. You ain't no fool. That's why you was able to see through this, because you're not a fool. And all of us who are not silly or dumb or anything, like, if you just got plain eyes and can see and can put two and two together and make four, then you could see that Kyle Tucker, based off of the way that he responded when he hit the ball off of his shin against the Cardinals that night. I mean, you remember the delay in that game. He kind of just bent over there for like a good 5 to 10 minutes, and it was a real rough scene. And then the fact that we haven't really seen him since then, or that he wasn't able to really do baseball activities for a long time after that, I mean, it's very obvious that he had to have had at least a fracture somewhere. So it's good to see that finally there's some transparency with that, or some clarity on that. But I feel like that was something that we could have all arrived at, without them actually telling us. It was pretty clear.
Yeah. I just remember I'd be listening, driving in, which I listened to Sports Radio 610 all the way in, on the way in the city, on the way out of the city, and I'd hear somebody talk about a bone bruise 2 months in. I'm like, guys, this ain't no damn bone bruise.
What are we doing, man?
I'm sitting here mad at the radio to one of my coworkers. But nonetheless, Kyle Tucker could potentially play Wednesday or Thursday. That is Dana Brown speaking. Take it for what it's worth, but he could play Wednesday or Thursday in Cincinnati. The other piece of info here that Dana Brown spoke about again on the flagship at some point this weekend was, and this is a question that I think we've asked and we've discussed multiple times, and any passionate Astros fans probably had the conversation, what the hell do you do with this many starting pitchers in the rotation that are absolutely dealing when it comes time to go to a four-man rotation in the playoffs? Who do you move, and what does that look like? I've always just said, hey, I'm not privy to the information that obviously the organization is. You can't tell me this organization doesn't know that there's one or two guys that, whether it's physically or mentally or emotionally or all three, are better fit or better suited to help this team from the bullpen versus a starting rotation. Well, Dana Brown spoke on it. He said Ronel Blanco is the most likely candidate to go to the bullpen when Houston goes back to a five-man rotation. So we're not even talking about the four-man rotation in the coming days. So they could go back to a five-man rotation in the coming days, which would put Ronel Blanco into the bullpen, which I would welcome. I'm down with it. Again, I'm going to trust the info that they have that's the best route to go, because you've got a beautiful problem in Major League Baseball right now when you've got six starters and you don't know which guy to send to the pen in terms of their stats and how they're performing as a starter.
Yeah, so I'm just guessing here, but I'm pretty sure about this part. Ronel Blanco is the most recently converted bullpen to starter guy.
Okay.
So it would make the most sense for him to be the first to go back. He would be, I would say it'd probably be the easiest and most natural adjustment out of all the guys. I don't think it necessarily means that he's lesser than, or he's just kind of the odd man out in terms of who's the best guy. I think it has to do more so with what you're used to and how comfortable you feel being in that role. The truth of the matter is, it's probably going to have to be more than just Ronel Blanco if they play as long as we want them to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like if they go past the wild card, which we expect them to, and eventually to their eighth straight ALCS, as we all hope they do, it's going to have to be more than Ronel Blanco. But to me, it's an embarrassment of riches. It's a good problem to have. Guys that have performed well for you as starters, able to go in and give you some length out of the bullpen when, yeah, by the way, your bullpen at times is looking a little bit shaky. And that was supposed to be one of the strengths of your team. If you end up having to compensating your bullpen with a surplus of starters, that ain't the worst thing in the world. The Rangers did it last year. You could do it this year.
Yeah, look, I think when you look at Ronel Blanco, I do wonder, and I'm curious, Dana Brown may tell us down the road here, but I do wonder of if any of it is kind of a load management perspective.
It could be.
Their advanced data and info and all that on their pitchers and spin rates and this and that, and I wonder how much of it coming down the pike they see. He's still performing well statistically, but the load that he's taken on as such a young pitcher is just too much to ask. We need to pull that back, and he can really help us in the bullpen. Where you look at Hunter Brown and you look at Spencer Arrieta, those guys seem to be getting better.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys seem literally in-game, in the moment, they seem to be getting better the deeper they get, and they seem to get better with every start.
Well, Spencer's figured out something with his arsenal, and credit to the pitching staff and Alex Bregman for helping him out with that earlier on in the year. But I would say Ronel and Spencer are sort of similarly situated in the way that you mentioned. Guys that have never pitched this much, and you got to keep an eye out on them.
Big 3-3, number two.
All right, that's what Dana Brown had to say, which I think is clearly the main act here. But the Astros did, Ron. Brandon Scott's
one of the,
for Ron.
I was going to say, my hair not blonde, baby. I'm coming in here brunette.
The Astros, they sweep the Royals in a convincing manner. They're six games up on the Mariners in the division. They're 75-62. What is that? That's 13 games over 500. Best record in baseball since late April. The FanGraphs World Series odds has them number four at 12.2% in terms of World Series. I think the Phillies, Yankees, and Dodgers are the three teams that are ahead of them right now. But B. Scott, when you look at this series, sweeping the Royals, I know the Royals kind of came out of nowhere. They weren't a good baseball team last year at all. They had turned it around fairly quickly and are playing good baseball and a young, up-and-coming kind of team, I believe. When you look at this four-game sweep, just your thoughts of what that tells you about an Astros team that you already knew a whole hell of a lot about.
Yeah, so the big thing with the Astros now is how you're seeing how they play against teams of the upper echelon.
Yeah.
You know, the way that they played against the Orioles for much of the year. Then you look at this series sweeping the Royals. Like, they are playing, I would say the big thing about them is that the way they played against the Phillies themselves, right? Like, that first game, which I know they lost with the walk-off against the Phillies with Bryce Harper. Like, that felt like postseason intensity.
Absolutely.
The Astros, not even just from sweeping this series, but the caliber of baseball that they've been playing over the last several weeks or so, and this reinforces it by sweeping the Royals, an up-and-coming team, as you mentioned, just to me tells me that they are ready, playoff ready. I was actually saying this over the weekend. I would like to fast forward through the rest of the minutia of this regular season. You know, like, I would like to capitalize off this Astros energy that we're living off of right now, Clint.
Yeah.
I would like for them to go into the postseason playing exactly how they're playing right now. I know on In the Loop earlier in the day they were talking about that. Like, man, sometimes teams that are really, really hot at the end, if they get that bye, they don't have to play the wild card and all that. Sometimes they falter a little bit. Sometimes they get bored. Sometimes they lose their mojo a little bit. Don't want that to happen for the Astros. If it was up to me, we'd end the regular season today and start the postseason on Wednesday.
I'm with you. With the exception of I need to see a couple more starts out of Verlander, and I need to get Tucker back, and then let's fast forward.
But this is the beauty of it. I don't disagree with you, Clint, but this is the beauty of it. Think about the fact that the Astros could be in early September and have just gotten Justin Verlander back, pitching his third start back right now, and then going to get Tucker back in the next couple of days, hopefully, per Dana Brown. And those guys can be afterthoughts. Like, they're not afterthoughts in terms of discussion because of their names, who they are, we understand what they represent. But the fact that it doesn't feel like they desperately need those dudes right now is a testament and a credit to the way that they're playing baseball right now.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about the starting pitching and really for not just this series. It's been rolling for a month plus now. But this sweep of the Royals was about starting pitching, and then obviously Yordan Alvarez, B. Scott. I know, you know, hitting three bombs in a game, then hitting two bombs in a game. I mean, this guy is just obviously one of, if not the best hitter in baseball, and he's carrying the team offensively right now.
Yeah, and it had been a long time, too, Clint, since Jordan had hit. Like, he was getting all of his homers on the road.
Yeah.
Which is odd, considering that Minute Maid Park is very hitter-friendly, and you would think, I know it's mostly hitter-friendly for the right-handed hitters, but even Jordan Alvarez historically has not had any trouble hitting in that ballpark. So it was good to see, to the point of them sweeping and Jordan Alvarez, him being a theme of the series, it was good to see him perform that way at Minute Maid Park, at the Juice Box, the way that we all expect him to. And look, if Jordan Alvarez is going to be hitting like this, and Kyle Tucker is coming back, and they just added another experienced left-handed bat in Jason Hayward. Oh, by the way, there's some outfield depth that you felt like you were losing with Chaz McCormick. I know Chaz McCormick is back right now with Jake being on paternity leave, but you felt like you were losing some of that depth with the way Chaz was playing.
Yeah.
Now you got a little bit of a deeper bench. I'm with it, Clint. I'm with it, man.
I'm with you. I'm ready. I'm ready to rock and roll. Just add a little context to Jordan right now. Four straight 30-plus home run season, and that number would those numbers would be even bigger if my man could stay healthy. Right, it's been always seems like there's a good stretch in the season where he misses. And you end up looking at his numbers at the end of the year and you go, good God, they'd be significantly better if he stayed healthy. But nonetheless, I'm just glad he's an Astro. Jordan Alvarez, four straight 30-plus home run season.
Big 3-3, number 3.
We heard a couple of updates on the Texans front. We heard from D'Amico Ryans a little earlier at the 220 mark of the show. If you're listening to that Odyssey app, there's a rewind feature. Go back and listen to D'Amico Ryans. It's always a solid listen. First game day or game week Monday presser with the head coach. He had a lot of good things to say, and we'll discuss them throughout the rest of the show. But one thing, didn't seem like there was much of an update on Will Anderson.
Yeah.
I can't tell if D'Amico Ryans is in game week, which I know he is in game week mode, or if he's playing his cards tight to vest with Will Anderson, but it didn't seem very promising. He wanted to get in and out of that answer as quick as he possibly could.
Yeah, and it did seem like with Will, at least last week, that they felt optimistic about him perhaps not being ready back then, you know, last week, but give him enough time, give him by game day, so, you know, inside a week from now, that he would be ready for week one. I'm still anticipating that he'll be out there, but I'm starting to be concerned, Clint, about how limited he might be, whether there's a snap count or if there are limitations on how explosive his get-off is, right? Like,
yeah.
What is it that makes Will Anderson such a special football player? It's how quickly he gets off the ball at the snap, right?
Yeah,
like,
he's relentless, yeah.
He's able to do that. Like, he is special without a special arsenal of moves and all of this, like, sophisticated pass rusher moves, because he's so physically gifted at the get-off, he's able to just kind of bull rush and kind of speed rush his way to wreaking havoc. If his ankle limits him, then you've got to be concerned about how exactly effective he'll be. I'm, you know, obviously hoping for the best. Will is a standout dude and a standout player, so you want to see him out there and all the excitement around the team. You want to see one of the cornerstones of the team be out there and able to perform, but it's got to be a concern out there, man. And you're chasing around a mobile quarterback, right? Like, you a formidable offensive line, a great running back, and a mobile quarterback. I feel like you need Will Anderson to be pretty damn close to 100%.
Well, there ain't but one Will Anderson out there. I like the depth that defensive end the Texans have, but there ain't but one Will Anderson out there. He's a different animal, and you definitely need him against all the opponents, but definitely in the division. Hey, back in, we were in the Super Bowl. We were at the Super Bowl in on Radio Row in Vegas, and we got to revisit some. Did C.J. Stroud? Did he create a little bulletin board material for the Indianapolis Colts? And it is week one, folks. That's who we got this week. It's who the Texans play this week. Is that bulletin board material being used right now? We'll have that bulletin board material. You can decide. Do you think they're using it or not? I know I got my opinion. B. Scott will have one as well. C.J. Stroud and bulletin board material. Whew. It's going to be fun, y'all. Colts, Texans.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience, is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sunday at noon. All right, it's game week. Texans got the Colts on noon on Sunday. And so we're digging into this Colts-Texans matchup a little bit. And I think a Monday leading into, obviously, the game itself, I think we got to look back at something, B. Scott. And I'm not a big believer in bulletin board material. I'm not a big believer in when something is bulletin board material, like legitimately – what kind of impact does it have, right? Like, I think it's talked about a lot. I think a lot of coaches try to use it. Definitely all of us in media, you know, we like the thought and the storyline behind bulletin board material. But to be honest with you, having been in a locker room, like, it just doesn't, I mean, there's very rarely does it resonate. Very rarely does it really stir the guys up. But I'm going to be honest with you. I think C.J. Stroud got it done. I think not only do we have a little bit of proof, but you can tell the tone in his voice is he's a little bit hot about it. So what happened, to give you a little bit of context, is at Super Bowl Radio Row, one, it's very close quarters.
Yep.
There's players everywhere. There's so much media in there, you can't say anything, and you can never say anything and hide it. Somebody's going to hear it. No question about that. It's how tight the quarters are. And apparently, C.J. Stroud was doing an interview. Don't remember who it was, but he was doing it with a group, and Zaire Franklin, linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts, was up next. Like, he was in the queue to come on that same stage and talk to him next. And I believe he overheard C.J. Stroud talking about how he cooked the Indianapolis Colts in both games, right? And now, if you watch the game, you remember, like, the Colts won game one handily.
Yeah.
And it was never – the Texans never threatened.
It was over early.
I mean, it was 14-0 early.
Yes.
It was – what was it, 24-10, what did I have? I had it written down somewhere. The score at halftime, it never was
– if you went to the concession stand early – you might have missed the game.
Right. So, anyway, Zaire Franklin, clearly the defense goes into a little bit of a prevent mode because you're protecting a 14 and sometimes a 17-point lead, and you don't care if the quarterback throws, completes every ball. You don't care if he throws for 400 yards as long as you don't give up any big plays, as long as you don't let the team back in the game, right? And so, as you can imagine, it rubs Zaire Franklin a little bit wrong, and when he's hearing C.J. Stroud talking about how he cooked that defense. Well, Zaire Franklin, he didn't seem to hold back. Not that he didn't say anything. Well, here it is right here. This is Zaire Franklin talking specifically about C.J. Stroud and what went down.
But C.J., he didn't say a lot of wild stuff to me. I'm not going to lie to you. I love C.J., man. I support all our young brothers at quarterback. But C.J., he didn't say a lot of wild stuff to me in our run-ins, you know, at the Super Bowl. I need to see that boy again.
What'd he say?
We were talking, and he was, you know, how the Super Bowl is at Radio Row. You know, it's big, all that stuff going on. So he had the XM radio right before me. He was on there talking about how he cooked the Colts in both games. And I saw him, and I pulled him aside, and I was like, you know, when you play Anthony, it was like 28-7 in like the second quarter. We were kind of blowing you out. Yeah, you threw for 300 yards, but
that's not a cooking. That's not a cooking.
Yeah. And he was like, bro, I ain't cook you. And I'm like, look, if that's what you consider a cooking with the loss, I mean, congratulations. And you know, and then I have to remind him as well that he's never beaten Anthony.
Oh, I love this. You like, you're a psychological warfare guy.
I like the banter back and forth. But B. Scott, you tell me, am I wrong when I hear Zaire Franklin doesn't seem like he thinks it's real funny? Like, it seems like he, like, I think he would have been all right if CJ wouldn't have come back with the, oh, I didn't cook you. I didn't cook y'all. And then you made him go, man, we were in prevent defense, bro. Like, y'all, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, but I feel like Franklin's a little bit beyond just, yeah, CJ's a young quarterback that's talking a little smack.
So my impression on this is that these just might be a couple of guys that thrive off of trash talk. And you know guys like that. You played the game. There are certain guys who don't talk at all, that just kind of go about it. And there are other guys that just like to talk. Whether they're good doesn't necessarily have anything to do with how good they are. They might be great. Yeah. They might not be so great. But they're going to talk and they like to talk. These seem to be both high-level players who like to talk, who thrive off of trash talk. The Texans got a few guys like that. C.J. Stroud is one of those guys. Stephon Diggs is one of those guys. They got a handful of guys. I'm learning, just a little insight, I'm learning that Derek Stingley Jr. on the field. He might be quiet off the field, but I'm learning on the field. He's one of those guys. So they've just got a few of those. I agree with you. I do think it's bulletin board material because they're thinking, man, this dude really thinks – that he cooked us, and the way it ended. Like, Zaire Franklin can say all he wants, hey, you haven't beaten Anthony Richardson, you weren't cooking us in the second week and all of that. But most people remember how the season ended. It's almost like that first game basically didn't even happen, given how the season ended and what the implications were. This was do or die. Whoever wins the game goes to the playoffs. It was C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans. Oh, by the way, they opened the game on you. How did they open the game, Clint? Putting them on the table, didn't they? I mean, you're a quarterback. You had to appreciate. I know you had to appreciate it.
No question. That was a hell of a script.
So I'm saying, like, you already know that on both sides there is a feeling of, hey, we're going to talk a little bit, and, hey, at the end of the day, Sunday is going to come. Yeah. We can talk from Monday through Saturday. But on Sunday, we got to play. Yeah. So I think that's where we are right now. I think it's bulletin board material on both sides, for the Colts and then for the Texans. If I'm listening to Zaire Franklin talk about, what you mean we ain't beat Anthony Richardson? Somebody ain't played before. Yeah. He ain't played but four games anyway.
Yeah, we didn't have a chance to beat him because he went out in a quarter of football.
Come on now.
Yeah, I sit down and I go, okay, I hear the audio. And I picture C.J. Stroud, you know, because remember, that was when he was awarded Rookie of the Year. I mean, he was having a hell of a weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was at this point in time, with one playoff win, that was probably the pinnacle of, like, the height of what he's gotten to, of Super Bowl weekend, all your peers are there, and you're getting celebrated as Rookie of the Year. And by the way, you got your boy's there with you, and your head coach, who should have got the Coach of the Year as well. But anyway,
It was Texans coordination. Andre Johnson, yeah. Hall of Fame, C.J. Stroud, offensive, Will Anderson, defensive rookie of the year. And, yeah, man,
I can just see all that, and I'm telling you right now, I can see, like, if the Colts – is Gus Bradley still the defensive coordinator? I hadn't done that digging yet. I've been on the river.
He should be. Yeah, no, he should be.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, yeah.
If he didn't start his meeting Monday morning or whenever they have their first meeting on the Texans themselves.
Playing that audio.
Oh, no question. C.J. Stroud talking about cooking y'all. Yeah, I mean, that would be a missed opportunity by him. I just think that this is actually a real, and I think guys will be pissed off about it. Like, I think guys will be, if and when they do hit C.J., they'll remind him, like, cook this. Like, it's going to be, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to carry over to some degree into the game. Like, I hope it's good, healthy trash talking like you were talking about. But we'll see how they handle it. It's going to be fun. Little bulletin board material out there that I'm sure is going to resurface this week, given that it's Colts week here, in Houston. Hey, there's something coming up on the text line here. And you brought it up. You saw it a little earlier and you just brought it up. We gotta get to it, man. Jeff Bagwell is calling the game for Blum. Blum must be out for a week or so, doing a family thing probably. Hopefully he's not sick. But Bagwell's up there. Seems like a lot of folks don't care for Bagwell in the booth, man. Let's cuss and discuss that next right here on Sports Radio 610. Ryan Ugly's out. Brandon Scott is in. Happy Labor Day to everybody out there. Man, y'all have a safe, fun Labor Day. Make plenty of memories with your family, with your loved ones, man. Drink some of that cold beer. Get on that grill and have you a day, man. Just make sure you stay plugged into Sports Radio 610 along the way. The Astros are rocking and rolling right now. They're down 2-0. This is the first game of the series against the Cincinnati Reds. Verlander is not looking real sharp. 30-plus pitches in. And he's got what's he got? It one out into the second inning.
Yeah, and walked the first three guys.
Yeah,
Not just walked the leadoff guy, walked the first three guys.
Yeah, it's going to be at the very least. You trust Verlander, the veteran that he is, to right the ship and get as much juice as you can out of this start, right? Ultimately, but 36 pitches in, and you've got four total outs. Down 2-0, yeah, and he's missing with a fastball on the outside of the plate, and he just missed with an off-speed on the inside. So Verlander's in a rough spot, 2-0 Reds. We'll keep you posted on what's going on there. But the reason I bring that up is Jeff Blum is not with TK. He's not on the call today. Jeff Bagwell is on the call today. And here's a text from 0744. Can someone get Bagwell off the broadcast? So weird. Sounds like a serial killer.
Come on now. All right. That's a stretch.
I mean, look.
That's a stretch, Texter.
Yeah, I mean.
A serial killer.
I would not have ended it with a serial killer, with Ted Bundy, but I guess I can somewhat understand where, like, just from a listener's pleasure, like, it's monotone.
Yeah.
There's no energy. There is a certain level of former player arrogance that he speaks with.
Yeah.
But I got a question for you, B. Scott. Is this more of an Abreu issue of late where people just can't get over that? Or has Bagwell, has there always been a certain level of hate there for Bagwell?
So I think it's the former. I think it has to do. So here's the thing. Bagwell is very clearly not a trained broadcaster. Nor does he sound like you could even find a non-trained broadcaster, a former player, bring him on the broadcast, and he still bring energy. You can still tell, man, he's excited to be here. He's excited to be calling this game. He's excited to be in my living room right now. You don't get that from Bagwell. Like you say, it's monotone. There's the arrogance, and you don't really get the same energy that a Jeff Blum clearly gives you. You don't have the same polishedness that a Jeff Blum, who does it every day, clearly gives you. So I think there's an obvious difference in the quality of the broadcast, but I think that was, say, 2 years ago when he'd do it, it was charming because it was Jeff Bagwell. It's an Astros legend. It's an Astros great. It's a Hall of Famer. And anything that Jeff Bagwell has to say about baseball carries a certain level of weight and credibility. I think that's even still the case, even given the way things have gone over the last couple of off seasons for the Astros. But I think because of the Abreu / Montero / just the whole pivoting of energy from the front office of, hey, we're going to go from the nerds to the jocks and namely lean into the Jeff Bagwell influence on the organization, I think that has rubbed some people the wrong way. It's worn on some people. And so things that they might have celebrated or tolerated from Jeff Bagwell on the broadcast and say, 2022, the year they won the World Series, before James Click was run up out of here, are not things that they are willing to tolerate and shrug their shoulders at today after the Abreu signing, after the Montero signings that, of course, blew up in your face.
Yeah, it seems like it's intensified. I'm sure it's always been there. Nobody, no matter how good you are, is ever loved by everybody, obviously. There's always some hate out there, but it seems like it's intensified a bit. Here's my issue with it is, even if you don't like the Abreu deal, and which none of us do, by the way, or the Montero deal that went south, it's hard for me to get to a spot with Bagwell.
Yeah.
Where, and it, I guess it's to your point, the caliber player, it's hard for me to get to a point where when you're a former player of that caliber, I'm just going to tell you, I am all in on listening. I'll overlook the monotone. I'll overlook the no energy. I'll overlook the arrogance. And I am plugged in when I can, just simply to try to, like, I want to crawl in the head of a guy as good as Bagwell and understand kind of how he sees the game and how he sees pitches and at bats and things of that nature. It's wild for me to ever get to a place and think where, hey man, just get him off the broadcast.
Yeah. Well, so there's a value there, to your point. There is a value there in just the caliber of player he is, no matter how you feel about his career, how you feel about the signings that didn't work out. No matter how you feel about him, there is instant credibility with him on the broadcast. Now, I do think that for some people, it's just a matter of, hey, it's not his knowledge of the game. It is the entertainment value. I don't want to hear the monotone. I don't want to be preached to. I want somebody who is both enthusiastic and teaching me something about the game. It might be for me, like the age that I am and how I follow Bagwell. I could see if you're a much, much older fan than me, how Bagwell might not do anything for you, or if you're a much, much younger fan than I am. But if you're in that sweet spot of 30 to 45 and you grew up watching Jeff Bagwell as a Houstonian and as an Astros fan, it's going to be hard for me to quit Jeff Bagwell.
Absolutely.
It's going to be hard for me to hate Jeff Bagwell. I'll give you something right now, Clint, that he gave me on the game just in between breaks. I can give you some Jeff Bagwell insight on Justin Verlander just in between breaks. Obviously, you and I can't watch every single pitch because we're doing this show together. But in the break, I was able to listen to a little bit of the broadcast. Jeff Bagwell says this: Justin Verlander's velocity is down. It's probably because his mechanics are off. I can give you that right now here on the radio from Jeff Bagwell. In the 3 minutes that we had a break, all I could see was that Justin Verlander walked his first three batters. From Jeff Bagwell, hey, velocity down, mechanics are off.
Yeah.
You know, it's that type. And I know any kind of baseball expert can get you that, but Jeff Bagwell is going to get down to the meat of the matter in that way.
Well, a lot of it, too, is whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. Like he's not paid, and this is how I've always viewed, like, when I was doing TV and the analyst stuff and even on the radio today. Like, I'm not paid to be right. Right. I'm not
paid to say what you think.
I'm paid to educate myself, go to practice.
Yeah.
And watch what the hell's going on out there. Right. And listen to all the interviews, watch the game films. And like, I'm not paid to be right. There's going to be somebody was wrong on my ass from the time I stepped on the field at Baytown Lee. Somebody was wrong on my ass. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to miss on guys. You're going to be wrong on guys. But if you go out and you educate yourself, and he's inside the building to where he's obviously privy to information that none of us are, then, I mean, you're paid to give an educated opinion that's based on a Hall of Fame level of experience. I mean, there's hardly anybody else in the world that can do that. And for me personally, that just carries some pretty significant weight. Now, the Abreu situation may have pushed some people off the Bagwell train. Cool. I'm with you. I'm still there.
Yeah. And again, like, I feel like you should be able to separate, and that's what's hard to do with it, right? It's hard to now separate, because look, the broadcast, and this is a little bit of inside baseball here, but the broadcast is owned by the team, right? Like, yes. Ever since they went to Space City Home Network, broadcast owned by the team. Jeff Bagwell, you know, in Jim Crane's ear and pocket, right? So it's got this feeling of, man, it's Jeff Bagwell over there just running everything, and in some cases, running things into the ground. But I will say, look, like, you can hate those deals. Those deals were obviously bad, but the Astros have recovered, right? Like, they not recovered from, you know, said bad deal? Have they not recovered from all of the injuries, all of the calamity that they find themselves facing? So it's not all bad. I get the association with Jeff Bagwell. I tell you what I don't want. I don't want Jeff Bagwell making all of the baseball decisions. I want some accountability. I want some checks and balances of the jock expert that is Jeff Bagwell and the way that they were running things under James Click and Jeff Luhnow. Yeah. Like, I'd like to have a meeting of the minds there, as opposed to, hey, let's just lean on what Jeff Bagwell has to say about things. But as far as just a broadcast, I feel like I can learn a lot from Bagwell.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I don't necessarily want him signing my relief pitchers or my first baseman moving forward, but without a general manager's input and without, you know, with just kind of spitballing this thing. But at the end of the day, I'm talking about a broadcast. I'm talking about a damn Hall of Famer. So I'm in on it. Hey, one guy that's not in the lineup today for the Astros is Jake Meyers, who has been a mainstay in center field. He is on paternity leave. So as you did earlier, I would like to congratulate Jake Meyers and wish him the best of luck and hope everything's healthy and everything's rolling. I don't know exactly in Major League Baseball. I'm assuming that it's a little bit, it differs for players in terms of their situation. But I don't know that Jake Meyers right now, Skeezy, I don't know that Jake Meyers needs to be spending too much time away from the boys, if you know what I mean.
Hey, it's funny, literally as you set it up too, Clint, like this could not be any more poetic, all right, for two country boys. Could not be any more poetic than as you say that, white boy Chaz. Are we allowed? Or is he
when he doubles like that?
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I want to check myself, make sure I'm following the show rules here, the drive rules. White boy Chaz hits a double literally as Clint Sterner is setting up that point, which is to say, hey, Jake, make sure everything is good with the family. Family first. Like you and I, we both got kids, got families. Family first. Family people around here on the drive. Very family friendly show. But you might want to get back to work, dog.
Hey, man. Hey, I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at Jake's splits here, man. And look, I know there's some cats out there in these advanced stats and that, but I'm just looking at the basic splits, man. I mean, that OPS in May was 924, and it has plummeted on a monthly basis.
Yes,
I mean, since May. It has June, July, August, and I mean, have been awful for Jake Meyers. I thought it would be Dubon. Like, I thought Dubon would go straight to center field and he would be the guy when, however long Jake is out. And, you know, if Dubon swings it well, I think you got some, I don't care how much the coaches support Jake. Boy, if Jake continued to struggle at the plate and Dubon played well while Jake was out, I mean, it's human nature. That's got to stick in your head, right? I didn't think it would be that Chaz McCormick, they'd call back up and stick him in center field. But they did, and now he's doubled in his first at bat. And so we'll see if anything comes of it. That puts Jordan Alvarez at the plate with one out, runners on second and third in a 2-0 ball game. Astros trailing.
What's going to save him, Clint, is that Bregman is dealing with this elbow issue. Because as much as we had a back and forth about should Dubon be the center fielder and all that, Dubon is naturally an infielder.
Yes.
And so if Bregman is going to be injured, then Dubon better serves them filling out whatever kind of depth they need from third base all the way across the diamond to first.
Well,
that'll help them, the fact that Dubon is not really in the mix to take him out.
I'm with you. I think the super utility guy during a regular season of 162 games is super important. Okay, I get that. And so there's really nobody else other than your super utility guy that's pushing him, that is even pushing him at this point in time. Last year, Chaz was. Year before, Chaz was. Now it's Dubon, right? And to your point, you got to use him in other places, so he's not going to play in center field. Okay, I'm fine with that. But the Jake Meyers-Dubon conversation come playoff time, I believe is very real. And I think it's real in that organization, which we don't have any reason to believe that it's not based on what we've seen in the last year.
Yeah, and the thing is, if he hits it all, then it's not.
Because
I think one thing that Jake, and this is to give Jake some credit, the one thing I do feel like he's established this year is validating the faith that they had in him as a defensive prospect, as a defensive center fielder. Now, sure, he still can't consistently hit his way out of a paper bag, and that is, to me, the sole issue. I don't really care about his arm anymore. I don't care. Like, defensively, I'm good with Jake, but the issue is his lack thereof consistency at the plate. So if he can hit at all, the conversation ends.
Well,
it's the fact that he's a hole in your lineup.
Well, I mean, we just got to be real with it, B. Scott, in my opinion. I mean, we're looking at a month, maybe a month and a half of swinging it really well that's worthy of being like, nope, that's my lock, stock, and barrel center fielder. In his career in Major League Baseball, we're looking at a month and a half of really, really, really swinging it well at the plate. Everything else has been hard to watch. And so I just think it's a real topic of conversation, especially if these numbers continue to fall off here. I don't think anybody looks at Jake right now and goes, yeah, but man, his slugging, or yeah, but man, his ability to hit with power, but yeah, but man, his, you know, that May that he had back 4 months ago was enough. I really believe in it. I think it's a real conversation inside the walls of Minute Maid Park.
Maybe that dad strength to help him. Maybe that'll help.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? You start to feel right. A little bit better after you had them babies. We'll see how that works out.
We'll see how it works. But nonetheless, congrats, best of luck, Big Jake and the wifey and the baby. We made a bet. There was a bet that I didn't. There was a bet that was made on this show last Thursday that nobody on God's green earth thought was going to come to fruition. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it did. And we got Ron Ugly looking like Cisco, like a heavy set Cisco. I don't know if that's going to be tomorrow, Wednesday, Friday, I don't know when it's going to be, but we got us a heavy set Cisco in the house. I'm going to explain that. We'll have that audio. We'll break that down right here on Sports Radio 610 next.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.